The Poor Wife of the Billionaire. Chapter 1. The Benton Family. A woman in a white t-shirt and jeans walked out of the train station in Daubug with a suitcase. Her delicate face turned slightly red as the sun hit her. She tucked wisps of curly hair behind her ears. Under her arched eyebrows were a pair of bright and pretty eyes, a slim nose, and cherry lips. She looked so beautiful even though she had no makeup on.
"Hello. You are Annabelle Hewitt, right?
I'm the driver sent by the Benton family." Annabelle nodded and followed the driver into the car casually. She was already worn out. On the way, the driver stole glances at the woman, whose eyes were closed as she rested in the back seat. This woman was Rupert Benton's fiancée. Rupert Benton was the most eligible bachelor in the city. At just 21 years old, he was already the CEO of Benton Group. He was way ahead of his peers. He was a vigorous, resourceful, and no-nonsense person, causing many in the business world to be afraid of him. His grandfather, Bruce Benton, took it upon himself to find a wife for him. And he picked Annabelle, a girl from the countryside. With his hands on the steering wheel, the driver took another look at Annabelle's innocent face and clicked his tongue. He envisaged that she would have a hard time with the Benton family. At this time, Annabelle slowly opened her eyes and looked at the strange city with a calm expression. The car arrived at the Benton family's residence soon. The driver carried Annabelle's luggage for her. Annabelle barely had one foot inside the house when a well-dressed woman appeared. She eyed Annabelle from head to toe with a look of utter disdain.
"Tracy."
"Yes, Mrs. Benton." As soon as Tracy was given a signal, she began to spray the disinfectant all over Annabelle. The well-dressed woman was Erica Benton, Rupert's mother. With her hands akimbo, she ordered her shoes and hair. "Spray them, too." Annabelle's face and body were soon covered with droplets of disinfectant. The pungent smell made her nose a little itchy. She uttered coldly, "What is wrong with you?" Erica flipped out immediately. "I heard that you're from the countryside, but I thought you would at least be well behaved. It appears you are the same as the wayward and rude girls they breed over there. I'm doing this because I don't want you to bring any virus or bacteria into this household. Do you want us to get infected with whatever you are carrying?" Annabelle wasn't one to take shit from anyone. She would have walked out if she hadn't made a deal with her grandfather. "In that case, you should spray some disinfectant in your mouth because it stinks." With this, Annabelle shoved the servant aside and walked in.
"You.
Oh my." Erica pointed at Annabelle with a trembling hand. Tracy hurriedly comforted her. In the living room, a girl who looked about the same age as Annabelle was sitting on the sofa. She had on designer clothes and bright makeup. Her expression was more condescending than Erica's as she looked at Annabelle. She was Rupert's cousin, Kathy Benton. "Are you Annabelle Hewitt, Rupert's fiancée?" Kathy rolled her eyes when she saw that Annabelle wasn't dressed in designer clothes.
"Gosh, Grandpa has no taste. I can't believe he chose someone like you. Anyway, I heard you came here by train. You should have told us you are too poor to afford a plane ticket. We would have bought one for you.
Wait, it seems there isn't an airport in the countryside." Annabelle looked at Kathy with one of her eyebrows raised.
She wondered if every member of this family was so arrogant. There was indeed no airport where she came from, but her grandfather had booked an entire high-speed train to Daobug just for her. These arrogant people had no idea that she traveled as luxuriously as someone who flew first class. Besides, she could have flown here in a private jet if she wanted. Annabelle could easily make it clear to these people, but she didn't. She just went upstairs. Annoyance clouded Kathy's face once she saw Annabelle ascending the stairs. She wasn't used to anyone ignoring her, so she followed her. "Where is my room?" Annabelle asked the maid behind. "Here," Kathy said, pointing at a door in the hallway before the maid could reply. She pushed the door open and added condescendingly, "You have never stayed in a bedroom as big as this, have you? You should cherish it while living in here. I'm Rupert's cousin, Kathy. You should fawn over me if you—" Kathy had barely finished speaking when Annabelle walked into the room and shut the door in her face. This made her angrier. "Ah! How dare that pauper be so conceited? What was Grandpa thinking?" The maid warily moved closer and asked, "Miss, but isn't this Mr. Benton's room?" Kathy cast a scornful glance at the door. "Shush! Don't say a word to her. Rupert hates anyone being in his space or using his things. When he finds out that she's here, just tell him that she chose to stay in this room." Kathy's eyes glistened with slyness as she spoke. Chapter 2: Night Long Cuddle. Annabelle didn't realize that this room belonged to someone else. When she saw that the bathroom was stocked with only men's products, she just assumed that the Bentons were trying to get on her nerves. "What an incredible family," she muttered sarcastically, walking under the shower. She only had to put up with this for 3 months. She had struck a bet with her grandfather. If she still had no feelings for Rupert after staying here for 3 months, their marriage would be called off. A maid brought in dinner for her once Annabelle got out of the bathroom. She ate it and fell asleep almost immediately. It was already midnight when Rupert finally came back home from a business dinner. He was aware Annabelle was arriving today. Bruce had told him to pick her up, but he refused under the guise of having many things to do at work. He had no interest in his fiancée. As far as he was concerned, the marriage would be cancelled sooner or later. Rupert was fagged out. He managed to take a shower and went straight to bed. He was very drunk, so he didn't notice that someone else was in his room until he lay down on his bed. The large bulge under the quilt startled him. He moved away abruptly. The room was dimly lit, so he couldn't see the woman's face clearly. Before he could think straight, she rolled over and hugged him. She muttered, "Teddy, don't be naughty. You should sleep now." Rupert froze completely. This woman had a very familiar scent, just like that girl. It was soothing as his nose pressed against her neck. For some reason, Rupert found himself hugging her back. He fell asleep with Annabelle in his arms. Strangely for an insomniac, Rupert didn't wake up at any point during the night. He slept like a well-fed baby. He had a dream that night. It was about what happened to him 10 years ago. In a dark room, a girl embraced him tightly and said in a sweet voice, "Don't be scared. No harm shall come to you. I'll protect you." Later in the dream, he met that girl again. It felt so real. The next morning, Kathy woke up at the crack of dawn. She had been hoping to hear the news that Annabelle was thrown out of the room once Rupert got back home. But the maid said nothing of such happened. Why was that? Didn't Rupert come back home last night? But his car was in the garage. Rupert hated anyone being in his space. He couldn't possibly have slept in the same bed as a strange woman. Consumed by curiosity and uncertainty, Kathy went to knock on Rupert's door. "Hey, Rupert. Breakfast is ready. Don't you have a meeting this morning? You should get up now." The noise woke up the two people who were fast asleep at the same time. Annabelle immediately felt the warmth of someone else. Her head wasn't on a pillow but on a hard chest. She looked up, only to meet the sharp eyes of a man. She sat up immediately and was wide awake. "Who are you?" Rupert's eyes darkened. "Annabelle Hewitt." Since he knew her name, Annabelle assumed that he was her fiancé, Rupert. But why was he in her room? She was just about to question him again when he uttered, "You came to my room and slept in my bed on your first day in this household. I must say that you are really something." "What?" Annabelle looked completely confused. He just said this was his bed? How was that possible? Was every member of this family mad and troublesome? "Oh my!" Annabelle exclaimed as her mind went to the men's products she saw in the bathroom yesterday. It seemed Kathy had tricked her. In haste, Annabelle got off the bed and looked at him coldly. "Just to be clear, I didn't mean to sleep here. Kathy told me this was my room. No offense, but I'm not in any way interested in you. Come to think of it, I fell asleep alone." "Why didn't you realize that someone else was in the bed when you got back? And why did you hold me in your arms for the whole night? Don't tell me you have a crush on me." A look of embarrassment clouded Rupert's face when he heard her words. He couldn't deny that he held her in his arms for the whole night. Just like last night, he was stunned when he met Annabelle's eyes. Her beautiful eyes were just like that girl's. Annabelle squinted at him with a smile. "What? Why are you staring at me like that? Are you obsessed with me?" Rupert came to his senses. His face darkened again. He ordered coldly, "Get out. And don't come into this room ever again." Annabelle sucked her teeth. She then left with her belongings without hesitation. This was their first meeting, but they already didn't like each other. Kathy, who was still at the door, was surprised to see Annabelle come out. Annabelle said with an ambiguous smile, "Good morning. As you wish, your cousin held me in his arms and slept for the whole night. We got along pretty well. You must be happy about that." "Nonsense." Kathy's face was livid. She didn't believe that at all. In her opinion, there was no way Rupert would like Annabelle, let alone hold her in his arms for hours. But the fact that they had slept together for the whole night was plain to see. Chapter 3. New Secretary. Annabelle walked away with a fake smile. "Kathy lost it? You bumpkin. Stop right there. I'm not done talking. Let me tell you, Rupert won't marry you." Just then, Rupert walked out of the room. Rupert. Kathy stuttered, moving back in fear. Rupert's face darkened. It was obvious that he was angry, so Kathy didn't dare to say anything more. Annabelle asked a maid to take her to her room. She unpacked her things and then went downstairs for breakfast. Erica, Kathy, and Rupert were already seated at the dining table. Erica began to criticize her as soon as Annabelle sat down. "Weren't you taught proper etiquette? Not only did you wake up so late, but you also didn't bother preparing breakfast. Do you think you're already the hostess here?" Taking a glance at Erica, Annabelle said flatly, "I'm not a servant either." She would never make breakfast for this family. Although Rupert didn't say anything as the two argued, there was no denying that he didn't like Annabelle either. The atmosphere in the dining room was tense. They ate in silence for most of the time. After breakfast, Erica held out a bank card to Annabelle. "This card is loaded with about $5,000. Buy yourself some decent clothes before going to the company. Remember to behave well. You mustn't cause any trouble for Rupert." To develop the relationship between the two, Bruce proposed that Annabelle work in the company as Rupert's secretary. Leonard Hewitt, Annabelle's grandfather, agreed to the arrangement. She didn't refuse. After all, it was only temporary. Her new employment was no biggie for her, but the bank card was. It was obvious that Erica looked down on her. "Thanks, but no thanks," Annabelle said in a sarcastic manner. There was nothing wrong with her clothes, as far as she was concerned. They were specially made for her. That was why the Bentons thought they were not designer clothes. Without waiting for Erica or anyone else to retort, she went upstairs to get ready for work. She had just gotten into her room when her phone buzzed. It was a bank notification. The sum of $50 million had been transferred into her account. A text message from Leonard came through. "Dear, I hope they are treating you well over there. I transferred some money to your account. Buy whatever you want. And don't forget to inform me if anyone bullies you. I love you." Annabelle smiled and texted back, "Grandpa, I'm not happy here. They are bullying me. It's not funny at all." Leonard replied almost immediately, "Glad to hear that. Anyway, I'm going fishing. Talk to you later." Annabelle couldn't believe her eyes. Sighing, she changed into a professional suit and walked out of the house. The driver opened the door for her. As soon as she got into the car, she found that Rupert was also inside. "Didn't you say that you had no interest in me? Why did you agree to work as my secretary then?" His charming voice had a hint of irony in it. There was also a smirk at the corners of his lips. "Don't get any ridiculous ideas just because I agreed. I promised my grandpa to stay with you for 3 months. Once the timeline expires, we will cancel the marriage," Annabelle responded, glancing at him indifferently. "Huh?" Rupert sneered. "Aren't you worried that you will fall in love with me in the next 3 months? I guess you'll be reluctant to leave then." Annabelle was amused by his words. "Funny you, Rupert. You clearly have a swollen head. For your information, I will never fall for you. Get down from your high horse." Although Annabelle knew that Rupert was good-looking, that didn't matter to her. He had the repulsive character that she hated in men. Rupert pulled a long face at her words. She would never fall for him. We will see about that, Annabelle. Don't ever forget what you said just now. In Rupert's opinion, Annabelle was just playing hard to get. Why did she come to his home if she didn't feel a thing for him or wanted to be his wife? Annabelle smiled and said, "Okay, I'll keep it in mind. Don't worry. In 3 months, we will go our separate ways. By the way, we have to pretend not to know each other at the company. I don't want unnecessary drama there." Rupert kept in silent. Unbeknown to Annabelle, she couldn't avoid drama at work. The news about Rupert's engagement had already spread like wildfire. People also knew that his fiancée was from the countryside. The employees in Benton Group were in a heated discussion. "Guys, have you heard the latest? Mr. Benton's fiancée will work here. She will be his secretary. Oh my. I heard she's ugly. And that she's from the countryside. Since she's poor, she must have attended a substandard college. Can she even understand the documents? Ha ha. You can say that again. The way I see it, she won't be able to operate a computer." The words of the gossipers trailed off as soon as Rupert walked in with Annabelle. Everyone's jaw dropped when they saw them. Chapter 4 His Superwoman. Look. Who is that woman that came in with Mr. Benton? She's so beautiful and elegant. Wow. Her legs are so straight and thin. I have never seen anyone as beautiful as her. Is she Mr. Benton's fiance? How is that possible? It can't be. Many of the employees began to wonder who Annabelle was. The most common guess was that she was a business partner. But when she left Rupert and went into the personnel department to sign in, they all realized who she was. The news spread in the company in no time. It turned out that the woman who came in with Rupert was Annabelle. People didn't know what to believe anymore. Didn't they say that Annabelle was an ugly bumpkin? How come she was drop-dead gorgeous? While Annabelle was going over the necessary formalities, the employees in the secretarial department were gossiping about her. "Annabelle is so beautiful. She's even prettier than Heather Norman," an employee commented. Nina Jones, the head of the department, had a frown on her face and disdain in her eyes. She said maliciously, "Looks aren't everything. Beauty doesn't change the fact that she's a poor village girl who doesn't know anything about city life. She's not worthy enough to be Mr. Benton's wife." Annabelle had just walked into the secretarial department when she heard these words. A hint of irony flashed in her eyes. She retorted in a clear voice, "If I'm not worthy enough to be his wife, who is?" "You." Nina's face froze. She looked away and didn't dare to retort. She couldn't afford to offend Annabelle. Ahem. Mr. Benton earlier told me to treat you like every other person in this department. You will receive a fair amount of work despite your status. Here is the document about the advertisement the company is going to shoot today. It's yours to handle." With a sneer, Annabelle took the document and left. The others surrounded Nina again. "Nina, is it Marcel's shoot? Annabelle is new. Don't you think she will screw it up?" A spark of mischief shone in Nina's eyes. The face of the advertisement was Marcel Brooks, a young and bad-tempered celebrity. He was hard to please and work with. People always avoided him. She looked forward to seeing Annabelle fuck things up on her first day. As soon as Annabelle got out, she went through the document that outlined the process of the advertisement. She raised her eyebrows when she saw Marcel's name in there. It was familiar. In the CEO's office, Rupert's assistant asked him, "Nina Jones handed over Marcel's shoe to Miss Hewitt just now. Should I order someone to replace her?" Marcel's elder brother was a friend of Rupert's since childhood. Everyone knew that Marcel had a bad temper. It went without saying that Annabelle would suffer a lot at his hands if she worked with him today. Remembering what Annabelle said to him this morning, Rupert finally replied, "No, let her do it." He would take delight in her suffering. The company was in charge of everything for the shoot. Annabelle and some employees went downstairs to welcome Marcel. A few minutes passed before a black Bentley drove into Benton Group's premises. Marcel got out wearing a pair of sunglasses. At the age of 19, he already had millions of fans all over the world. His fame contributed to his arrogance. He held his head up high and walked like he owned the place. Annabelle walked up to him and extended her hand for a handshake. "Welcome, Mr. Brooks. I'm Annabelle Hewitt, the person in charge of the shoot. It's my pleasure to meet you." Marcel didn't take her hand or exchange pleasantries. He just complained with a frown, "It's so hot. Why didn't you bring an umbrella? Anyway, is everything all set? I don't have time to waste. By the way, buy me a cup of coffee before we begin anything. Don't get me a cheap one. I want one from that cafe downtown. They make the best, Marcel's." Words trailed off when he finally looked at the woman's face. His jaw dropped. Holy moly. Annabelle. Am I dreaming? Marcel took off his sunglasses and still looked incredulous. He hugged Annabelle excitedly. "Annabelle? Why are you here? You work here? When did that happen? Shouldn't you be traveling around the world now?" Annabelle stroked Marcel's head and said with a smile, "Mark, long time no see. What did you say you wanted to drink again?" "Nothing. I didn't say anything. What would you like to drink? I can get it for you." Everyone present was dumbfounded, to say the least. The ever so arrogant Marcel not only hugged Annabelle but was also speaking to her politely. He even allowed her to stroke his head. Was this really Marcel or some clone who was passing off as him? Could it be that he was so respectful because Annabelle was Rupert's fiancée? But he was usually arrogant in Rupert's presence. What was going on? The truth was that Annabelle and Marcel met 2 years ago. At that time, Marcel was 17. He was filming in the countryside, very close to Annabelle's home. Some thugs kidnapped him. Fortunately, Annabelle saved him by chance. Marcel had fearfully watched her beat up the kidnappers so easily. He had thought he was going to die in captivity, but she had come to his rescue like a superwoman. She had invited him to her home. Much to his surprise, her home was even bigger than the mansion in Downton Abbey. It turned out that she was not only kind but also well-to-do. He couldn't help but hold her in high esteem. Chapter 5. chivalrous lad. The two walked into Benton Group. And the shooting went on smoothly. Some of the clothes weren't up to Marcel's taste. He complained about them. But when Annabelle said that they were good, he immediately changed his opinion. He set aside his nitpicking attitude just because of her. Whenever he went out of line, Annabelle's glance brought him to order. Marcel was intimidated by her. Aside from the fact that he respected her for saving his life, he feared that she would spank him if he annoyed her. It was estimated that the shoot would take 5 hours because of Marcel's attitude, but it took only 2 hours. Once it ended, Marcel pulled Annabelle and said, "Let's go. We have a lot of catching up to do. I'll treat you to dinner." "No, I can't. I'm not off duty yet." Annabelle refused him coldly. Some of the employees were still on the set. They pretended to be busy, but they gossiped about the two on the spot. "What?" Marcel offered to buy Annabelle dinner, but she turned him down. "Holy moly. What is she thinking? Doesn't she know who he is? Many girls would jump at the offer. How can she be so arrogant? I wish he could take me instead. I can quit my job just to spend some time with him. Oh, Annabelle is so foolish." Being rejected, Marcel wanted to cry. After thinking for a while, he asked, "By the way, why did you start working here? Oh my! Did your family go bankrupt? If so, I can support you. You don't have to slave away here, okay?" Annabelle rolled her eyes and said, "You know nothing, Mark. Now if you will excuse me." She then went back to work. Everyone who saw the scene thought Marcel would storm out in a fit of pique. To their greatest surprise, he smiled helplessly and went to the lounge to wait for Annabelle until she got off work. By closing hour, Rupert walked out of his office and said to Annabelle, "Grandpa made a reservation at a restaurant. Let's go have dinner there." Rupert didn't want to, but Bruce threatened him. The old man was hospitalized earlier after having a heart attack. On video call, he said, "You must go. If you don't, I'll pull the plug on this ventilator. Do you want me to die?" Rupert's hands were tied, so he had to agree. Annabelle was about to reply when Marcel came in. "Annabelle, you are off duty now, right? Can we have dinner now?" It wasn't until Rupert coughed slightly that Marcel noticed his presence. "You are here, Rupert," he exclaimed. Did Annabelle and Marcel know each other? Rupert looked at the two in confusion. Annabelle, who had been silent, finally spoke. "How about we all have dinner together?" In the end, the three of them went to the restaurant that Bruce reserved earlier. During the ride, Marcel kept talking to Annabelle, who replied in a friendly way from time to time. When they arrived, Marcel became chivalrous. He opened the door for Annabelle and even pulled a chair for her. He also put food on her plate and poured her a glass of red wine. Rupert was relegated to the background. It was as if these two were in their own world, and he was just there to watch them. "By the way, you still haven't told me why you decided to work in Benton Group. Is there something between you and Rupert?" Marcel suspected that they were involved with each other. Glancing at Rupert, Annabelle answered, "My grandpa asked me to work here. As for what is between us, we are engaged. Marcel spat out a mouthful of water. You both are what? What a small world we live in. So, you are the countrywoman whom Rupert got engaged to?
Annabelle nodded casually. The rumor of the engagement was widespread in Daubug, so Marcel knew about it. Since he knew about Annabelle's background, he couldn't help but sigh because of how clueless the media was. She was indeed from the countryside, but she was far from being poor. The Hewitt family was filthy rich and had dozens of villas scattered around the world. Are you two in love? Marcel looked at them in disbelief. Don't get the wrong idea. We are not in love. The engagement will be cancelled 3 months later, Annabelle said calmly. Marcel breathed a sigh of relief and nodded. Without mincing words, he uttered, "That's good. Rupert doesn't deserve you. I'm even better than him. You two are nothing alike. He's cold and boring. A marriage between the two of you would be a disaster." Rupert knifed the steak on his plate and chewed hard as fury brewed inside him. He didn't deserve Annabelle? What nonsense. That reminds me, Marcel. Your brother asked me to buy the car you have always wanted. He plans to give it to you. I think. Come on, Rupert. I didn't mean that. Can't you take a joke anymore? Marcel smiled awkwardly. They had a nice meal. After walking out of the restaurant, Annabelle and Rupert bid Marcel farewell. Bye, Annabelle. I'll visit you whenever I'm free. Annabelle stroked his head again as they hugged. She waved at him. Bye, Mark. Take care. She petted him as if he were Teddy, her Alaskan Malamute. But in Rupert's eyes, she was flirting with him. He grunted and got into the car. On the way back, he finally complained, "I see why you boldly said that you'll never fall in love with me. You're in love with someone else." Chapter 6. The bribe. Annabelle looked at Rupert in confusion. "In case you have forgotten, you are engaged to me now. Marcel is a celebrity. Many eyes are on him. Behave yourself. I won't sit back and watch you dent the reputation of the Benton family," Rupert warned in a serious tone. Only then did Annabelle realize that Rupert thought she loved Marcel. How did his mind go that far? "Also, I have to remind you that it'll be very difficult to marry into the Brooks family. After all, you are 2 years older than Marcel enough." Annabelle snapped. "Our engagement is just one of convenience. You and I know that we won't end up together. That said, it's none of your business whom I date or want to marry. Don't tell me what to do." Rupert's face darkened. He wanted to retort, but he bit his tongue when he saw her glaring at him. The rest of the ride was silent. Annabelle hadn't denied having feelings for Marcel. Since she had behaved so defensively, Rupert assumed that she acquiesced to his suspicion. That annoyed him even more. Rupert suffered from insomnia that night as usual. Staying awake all night had been a thing for him since he was kidnapped and locked up in a dark room when he was 13 years old. He usually had panic attacks about that scary experience. But tonight, he was awake because he was thinking about Annabelle. Scenes of what happened last night flashed through his mind. He caught himself wishing for her to be in his arms again.
At the thought of this, he grew more unsettled. She has no taste in men. What does she see in Marcel, who is merely a boy? Is she blind? With irritation, Rupert got out of bed and lit a cigarette. The next few days were peaceful and uneventful for Annabelle at work. However, she couldn't help missing the life she lived in the past. She had been a traveler. And whenever she wasn't catching flights, she was lying in her bed and living the best life at home. The anniversary ceremony for Benton Group soon rolled by. That evening, Annabelle was forced to get styled and dressed in a cocktail dress. The banquet was grand. The guests were all popular businessmen from far and near. As the CEO, Rupert was busy exchanging pleasantries with many guests. Annabelle was tired of meeting a lot of people. She excused herself to the ladies' room. After fixing her hair and makeup, she walked out, only to be stopped by a woman. Annabelle Hewitt, right? From her appearance, Annabelle calculated that this woman was about her age. She had on a customized dress and jewelry that looked expensive, so she must be from a rich family. "Yes, how may I help you?" "I'm Heather Norman," the woman said, walking closer. This name was one that Annabelle had heard times without number since she came to Daubug. Heather grew up with Rupert and was the only woman around him for many years. The public had expected Heather and Rupert to end up together. They were the perfect match. But everything changed when Annabelle showed up. "Like I said, how may I help you?" Annabelle asked again, growing impatient. Heather took out a bank card from her purse and said calmly, "There's $10 million in this card. I want you to call off the engagement between you and Rupert in front of everyone tonight." Annabelle scoffed and rolled her eyes. Why were the residents of Daubug so audacious? Was it something in the air? The nerve of them. Although this was an insult to Annabelle, she had to admit that Heather was more generous than Erica, who offered her the mere sum of $5,000. Heather's eyebrows crinkled with annoyance at Annabelle's response. She intoned, $10 million is enough to change your life. I'm sure you have never handled this amount before. You aren't good enough for Rupert. He will never marry you. The only reason he agreed for you to live with him is because of his grandfather's health. Once his grandfather recovers, you will be thrown out. It's better to leave rich than to be driven out poor." "Huh?" Annabelle sneered. $10 million would change my life? What a joke. Just so you know, that's not enough for my monthly expenses. It's chicken feed." Annabelle tut-tutted and left. Heather watched her leave. She couldn't believe her ears. She felt that Annabelle was out of her mind. How was $10 million chicken feed that was barely enough for her monthly expenses? Heather's made-up face turned red. "Since you are stubborn, I'll deal with you with an iron fist. Just wait and see, you idiot." Meanwhile, Rupert had just finished his speech on stage and was talking to someone. Once Annabelle returned to the banquet hall, Erica walked to her and scolded, "Why are you walking around? Just sit there. Don't embarrass the Benton family." Chapter 7. Angelic Pianist. Erica's scolding made Annabelle regret coming to this banquet in the first place. She was already bored and tired of sitting in one place. She began to think of leaving just to escape this nagging woman and boring party. Before she could come up with an escape plan, Heather approached her again. This time, she was flanked by a group of young women. She pretended as if she hadn't met Annabelle before. With a bright smile, she kissed Erica's cheeks.
Mrs. Benton, so good to see you. You're stunning. This must be Rupert's fiancée, right?
She turned to Annabelle and stretched out her hand.
Hi, I'm Heather Norman.
Nice to meet you, Annabelle. Heather was acting all noble and friendly. It would be impolite of Annabelle to ignore her. Seeing that Annabelle didn't accept the handshake, Erica glared at her and said to Heather with a smile, "Don't mind her, Heather. She's just a country bumpkin, so she doesn't know etiquette. It's all right. By the way, I heard Annabelle is very talented. There's a piano on the stage. How about we have a competition just to liven the mood here?" Two Annabelle's eyes narrowed as she stared at her. People assumed she was a pauper from the slums. From where did Heather get the information that she was talented? It was crystal clear that Heather wanted to humiliate her. Without waiting for Annabelle's answer, Heather went straight to the piano. As a member of a reputable family and Rupert's childhood sweetheart, she easily attracted everyone's attention. Heather skillfully played the piece that she was very familiar with. A tumult of clapping and praises broke out when she was done. After descending the stage majestically, Heather said to Annabelle, "I didn't put in my best. Your turn, Annabelle. Let's see if you are good enough." Heather's friends began to jeer. "Backslash, you were amazing up there, girl. Totally amazing. Backslash, what are you waiting for, Annabelle? Go up there and show us what you've got. Or don't you know how to play the piano?"
Oh, no. It would be a slap in the face for Rupert if his fiancée can't play a simple musical instrument. The guests around watched as Heather's friends urged Annabelle on. Some of them already wrote her off by shaking their heads in disappointment. Erica noticed everything. She was embarrassed, causing her disgust for Annabelle to quadruple. Too finally, Annabelle said with a smile, "Backslash, I'm not hesitating because I don't know how to play. It's just playing the piano here makes me feel like a busker. Anyway, if you insist." Backslash, she set down her wine glass and gracefully went up the stage. She intentionally chose the same piece her opponent played. Heather wanted to humiliate her, but what she didn't know was that Annabelle became a pro at playing the piano when she was just 10 years old. No one could humiliate her. Soft melodious music soon filled the quiet banquet hall. Shortly after, some of the guests paired up and began to dance to the rhythm. The scene was beautiful and heavenly. Some of the guests had great knowledge of the piano. Even those who didn't have much knowledge knew that Annabelle's rendition was far better than Heather's. Rupert, who was busy exchanging pleasantries, was stunned. He turned around and looked at who was playing the piano. He saw that she was in a light blue dress, and her curly hair hung casually on her back and side profile. At this moment, her eyes were closed as she pressed the keys with her slender fingers. Her looks and mannerisms made her look angelic. The guests who weren't dancing were held spellbound by the rendition. The whole scene burst Heather's bubble. She froze as if she was a pillar of salt. Her face was so red that one would think she just got slapped hard. Annabelle could play the piano so well, even better than her. How was this even possible?
Annabelle ended the rendition with a bang. During the thunderous round of applause, she came down gracefully. You are indeed talented, Annabelle. Your skills are much better than mine. Despite the embarrassment and anger that Heather was feeling, she had to admit defeat. What an insult! A country woman just defeated her, a classy woman from a wealthy background. You also played well, Heather, Annabelle said perfunctorily. At this moment, a middle-aged man in a well-ironed black suit began to approach them. Annabelle's eyes widened. She knew this man far too well. He was Jaden Potter, her family's butler. Why was he here? Was her identity going to be exposed? #Jaden walked straight to them. He took a look at Annabelle but didn't say anything to her. Instead, he turned to Rupert and Erica, and said, "It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Jaden Potter, the butler of the Hewitt family. Mr. Hewitt isn't feeling well, so he sent me to represent him. He sends his apologies and kind wishes." Copyright Erica stepped forward, shook Kai's hand, and uttered in a hurry, "Is Mr. Hewitt okay?" Chapter 8. Heather's lie. Erica and Jaden chatted with each other. It was common knowledge that Leonard and Bruce were very good friends. Back in the day, the Benton family and the Hewitt family dominated the business industry. However, Leonard suddenly sold his company and retired from the business industry many years ago. He hadn't been in the news ever since. The only thing people heard was that he was traveling the world with his granddaughter. Despite being off the radar, the Hewitt family was still one of the most reputable families in the country. Jaden brought the gifts Leonard sent for the Bentons, a world-famous painting, and the deed to a land worth hundreds of millions in the southern part of the city. The list went on and on. Leonard was generous. His gifts were often over the top. Annabelle, who didn't like the Bentons, was unhappy that they got all these gifts from her family. However, she was grateful that Jaden didn't come here to expose her real identity. She wanted to leave in 3 months. If the greedy Erica found out who she truly was, she would refuse to let her go. Perhaps Rupert would even fall in love with her after knowing she was sick. Just as Annabelle was lost in thought, Heather's friend asked, "The Hewitt family is so generous. That reminds me, Heather. You once met Leonard's granddaughter at a fashion show, didn't you?" One of the greatest mysteries currently was the identity of Leonard's beloved granddaughter. There had been speculations about her. No outsider knew her name, let alone her looks. "Oh, yeah. She's very beautiful and kind," Heather replied. "Remember that she gave you her number. She also said that she will visit you when she comes to Daubug," Heather's another friend commented. Wow. Heather, you are awesome. Annabelle raised her eyebrows and stared at Heather with a look of disbelief. Once she noticed her gaze, Heather frowned deeply. "Why are you looking at me like that, Annabelle? Did you really meet Leonard's granddaughter?" asked Annabelle. "Uh-huh." Heather nodded, folding her arms defensively. "What? Are you envious of Heather? You might also be surnamed Hewitt, but you are just some country bumpkin," one of Heather's friends uttered condescendingly. These words made Annabelle smile, but she said nothing. When Heather saw her smile, she became confused. Why was Annabelle smiling? Did she know that her meeting the young heiress was just one big lie? But how would she know that? Perhaps she was just overthinking things. As Heather tried to wait off her nerving thoughts, Annabelle shook her head and walked away with a smirk. Something didn't feel right. Heather was certain that there was no way Annabelle saw through her lie, but she couldn't help feeling flustered for some reason. She became even more annoyed. "She's too arrogant for a pauper," she muttered, glaring at Annabelle's back. In that moment of annoyance, an idea came to Heather's mind. Her lips curved up in a vicious smile. Meanwhile, Annabelle walked to a quiet comer with her wine glass and sat down. She was massaging her forehead when she felt someone's gaze on her. She raised her head, only to meet Rupert's gaze. Rupert hadn't been able to take his eyes off her since Annabelle played the piano. He was thinking of why Annabelle, a girl from the countryside, knew how to play the piano like a pro and also had the temperament of someone from a noble family. Something just didn't add up. He was lost in thought when he saw her staring back at him. He jolted back to reality and his heart skipped a beat. The next second, he felt a pang of pain in his heart. Annabelle just looked away as if he wasn't important. His pain soon turned to anger. He frowned deeply. As Annabelle took a sip of the wine in a glass, she mumbled, "Why the hell is he staring at me?" The only reason she could think of was that Rupert found it hard to believe that she was skilled at playing the piano. This wasn't so surprising to her. After all, he was so arrogant and narrow-minded. He must have been looking forward to seeing her fail, but she dashed his hopes. So much for being a Benton. Annabelle rolled her eyes indifferently. She didn't give a damn about such a self-centered man. She said to herself, "Chill, Annabelle. You will be out of here in 3 months." Annabelle sat alone for a long time. The night was far spent. A few guests were already leaving one by one. She decided to leave, too. She walked out and tried hailing a taxi. Suddenly, Rupert's annoyed voice came from behind. "Why are you leaving without telling me?" Chapter 9. Couples tiff. Annabelle turned around and saw Rupert walking over with a frown. It was obvious he had been keeping an eye on her the whole evening. "Why do I have to report my every move to you? We are not at work, so you are not my boss. I can do whatever I want." Annabelle wondered why he was so concerned about her actions. Suddenly, a car came to a halt in front of them. The driver got out and opened the door for them. Annabelle recognized that it was one of Rupert's cars. Looking away, Rupert said indifferently, "It's late now. It's unsafe to take a taxi alone. Let's go back together. If anything bad happens to you, people will accuse the Benton family of not taking care of you." Annabelle frowned and uttered, "Thanks, but no thanks. I can take care of myself." Just as Annabelle moved away to hail a taxi that was speeding by, Rupert grabbed her wrist and ordered, "Get in the car." Staring at her dead in the eye, he added, "Since you will be staying with me for 3 months, I'm responsible for you. Don't get me angry now." In simple terms, he didn't give a hoot about her. He was just doing it for selfish interests. The frown on Annabelle's face deepened. She shook off his hand and got into the car. Before even meeting Rupert, she shut her mind off to any possibility that she would fall for him within the 3 months. Now that she saw that he had a bad temper and wasn't mature enough to treat her right, she disliked him even more. How could her grandpa be so blind that he chose this man as a grandson-in-law? Heather had followed Rupert after he left the hall. Standing behind a pillar, she watched the two get into the same car and leave. I should be the one sitting with Rupert in that car. That bitch just came out of nowhere and took my spot. I'm the only one that deserves to be MRS. Benton/materialcopyrightnoveldrama.org. After thinking for a while, Heather took out her phone and dialed a number. Hey, what's up? You want to be friends with me, don't you? Are you ready to show your sincerity to me? The person on the other end of the line was Nina, the head of the secretarial department in Benton Group. She was lucky to meet Heather at a banquet. She wanted to get into the circle of the rich, but all her effort proved futile. Now that she received a call from Heather out of the blue, she didn't hesitate to agree. Of course. I'll do anything you ask of me. Just name it. Well, it's simple. It's about Annabelle. I hear that she's in your department. You should find it easy to make her life a living hell, right? After a pause, Heather continued, after this, I'll get you any luxury handbag that you want. You know money is not a problem for me. The request took Nina by surprise. But after hearing what was in it for her, she uttered excitedly, you are so generous. Leave it to me. I'll make sure to teach Annabelle a lesson. You sound confident, but how sure are you about this? 100% sure. Mr. Benton doesn't show any concern for Annabelle at work. Even the other employees isolate her. Making her suffer will be a piece of cake for me. Heather's heart sang when she heard that Rupert didn't care about Annabelle. It's settled then. You will get your reward once everything is done. Don't let me down. Meanwhile, Annabelle and Rupert sat in the back of his car. There was a huge gap between them. Turning his head, Rupert noticed that Annabelle had been looking out of the window since she got in the car. Her silence was killing him. Ahem. I had no idea that you were so good at playing the piano. When did you learn it? Annabelle finally spared him a glance with her eyebrows raised slightly. She was taken aback by his sudden praise and question. Was I that good? Anyway, I learned it just now. Rupert couldn't believe his ears, seeing that he was shocked by her response. Annabelle was overjoyed. She added with a proud smile, I learned it from Heather's performance. What did you think about my performance? Were you held spellbound? I'm smart, aren't I? Rupert looked away and commented with annoyance, it's so difficult to communicate with you. Then don't. I didn't beg you to strike up a conversation with me. You started it. Annabelle also turned her head away from him. Chapter 10. Just the beginning. Rupert pulled his tie irritably. He bit the insides of his mouth as he stared at the moving vehicles outside. He was angry, not at Annabelle, but at himself. He regretted trying to strike up a conversation with her. Rupert couldn't figure out why he was so uncomfortable whenever she was silent and ignored him. He should be doing the same since she obviously had no interest in him. The rest of the ride home was quiet and uneventful. As soon as the car halted in front of the villa, Rupert got out and went in. Annabelle took her time. By the time she got in, Rupert was already sitting on the sofa in the living room with a glass of water in his hand. She didn't spare him a glance. Instead, she ascended the stairs. Rupert set the glass on the table with a thud. He grunted like a wounded lion. Despite the noise, Annabelle didn't look back or stop. She continued to walk up slowly. Was he making a fuss because of what she said? He was so narrow-minded. How did he manage Benton Group with such a sensitive attitude? Weren't his family afraid that he would bring the family's business to ruin? The following morning, Erica and Kathy criticized Annabelle as usual during breakfast. Annabelle developed thick skin over time, so she didn't say anything. Her silence fanned the troublemakers' anger. They had wanted to get into a shouting contest with her this morning, but that wasn't feasible now. Hashtag Annabelle ate her breakfast as if she was the only one at the dining table. She then freshened up and left for work. Her job as a secretary was a piece of cake since she was naturally dutiful. She finished all her tasks in the morning, had lunch, and then took a nap. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she went to the bathroom. When she came back, she met a pile of documents sitting on her desk. Nina was standing aside, so it was obvious she just dropped them. Why are these on me desk? Nina responded, the data on these documents must be inputted into the company's system today. Another secretary was supposed to share the workload with you, but he had an emergency and left earlier than usual. You have to work on them alone. Finish it all today. Sort out the data correctly because they are needed tomorrow. Have I made myself clear? Annabelle silently leafed through the documents. The data was a lot. It required hours upon hours of hard work. She would have to work overtime if she was to finish it alone today. Why didn't you give them to me earlier? As you can see, this is a lot of work, Nina pointed at her menacingly. Oh, please. What's difficult in handling basic data records? You can't fault me for handing them to you now. Just so you know, I was just notified of them. Working here can be very spontaneous. You know that? Why then are you complaining? Your title as MR. Benton's fiancé doesn't excuse you from doing your duties here. As the head of this department, I have every right to assign tasks to you. If you can't take it, just quit. Even a blind man could see that Nina was just trying to make things difficult for Annabelle. However, Annabelle wasn't going to let anyone beat her down. It's fine. I'll handle it. With this, Annabelle sat down and got down to work. A sinister smile appeared on Nina's face. She had actually been notified about this in the morning when she saw that Annabelle had finished her other tasks so early. She intentionally gave a day off Ito, the employee who was supposed to work on it. She also kept mute until it was almost closing hour. Noveldrama.org copyright 2024. It was a heavy workload, so she calculated that Annabelle would work until 10 at night, and she would be exhausted even if she managed to finish it. Remember to make no mistakes. Every single figure must be accurate. One mistake can ruin the entire statistics and cost the company a lot. These words were getting on Annabelle's nerves. She uttered impatiently, / anything else? If you have something important to say, just say it all at once.
M. That's all. /
now, please leave.
Don't you have work to do?
Nina felt humiliated in front of other employees. It was a slap in the face for her because no one in this department ever went against her or said such words to her. How dare this newbie speak to her in that manner? Nina was way above Annabelle in this company, but she still felt somewhat inferior. She hated Annabelle's guts. Copyright with her fists clenched, she eyed Annabelle and stormed away. She cursed under her breath, "Stupid girl. You may be all smiles now, but you will cry later. This is just the beginning. A greater punishment is on the way. No one will help you here. You are on your own."